January 1992. We'll continue our Dhamma talk. Yesterday our Dhamma talk is about the Paccaya Parikaha Jnana, the insight knowledge of a causal relation, or insight knowledge of a cause and effect. We are dealing with purification of the seven kinds of purification. The first one, purification of morality, sila visuddhi. The second, purification of mind, citta visuddhi, deep concentration. The third, purification of view, ditti visuddhi. Purification of a mind can be attained through deep concentration. Purification of view is attained through the insight that discerns mental process and physical process. And their true nature, then we come to purification, overcoming doubts. Kankha Vitarana Visuddhi. Purification, overcoming doubt, is attained through the insight knowledge that realizes the nature of the cause and effect of causal relation of a mental and physical phenomena. Here, doubt should be overcome. Then, what are we doubtful about? We doubt about our existence. We doubt about about the absence and presence and the absence of a personality, individuality. So, and the commentary, Visuddhi Magga commentary, it is said, when we do not completely realize the cause and effect of a mental and physical process, we may have doubt that whether there was I in the past existence, or there was a person in the past existence, or there was an utter which is regarded as everlasting entity, and also whether there is I or a person, a being, an everlasting entity, and also there whether there will be an I, a person, a being, an everlasting entity. In this way, we may have a doubt about our existence in the past, in the present and the future. Our existence means the existence of a person, a being, in the past, at present, and in the future. When you have realized the cause and effect of a bodily and mental phenomena, through realization of a yes, a true realization of a disembodiment process and their true nature, you won't have that doubt about the existence of a person, a being, in the past, at present, and at future as well. I will clarify it later on. Then, yesterday I stopped my Dhamma talk. By explaining how a meditator realizes the cause and effect of mental and physical phenomena during their meditative practice. When you are observing the rise and fall of the Dhamma, first of all, the mind goes out very often. So you have to observe the mind until it has disappeared. When the mind has stopped, the wandering mind has stopped, then the note may return to the primary object, the note as usual, as rising, falling, rising, falling. When you are able to be aware of the rising movement and falling movement very closely and precisely from the very beginning of a rising movement and the end of it, from the very beginning of a falling movement and end of it, then the mind gradually becomes concentrated on the process of dual process of movement. It goes along with the process of rising movement, and then again it goes along with the process of falling movement. So concentration, the mind becomes will concentrate on each movement of rising and falling. Then when you put steady effort in the noting of this dual process of arising movement and falling movement, concentration becomes deeper. Then the insight that arises together with the concentration becomes a penetrating, powerful, and sharp. Then you come to realize the rising movement is a one process, and the mind that notes is another process. Same way, falling movement is one process, and the mind that notes is another process. And so in this way you come to differentiate between the physical process and mental process, the object and the subject. That is the nama rupa parichara jnana, the insight knowledge that differentiate between nama and rupa. Nama, mental process, rupa, physical process. When you can very clearly see these dual processes, then you don't find the rising process with yourself or with the person or being. You don't identify the noting process, the mind that notes it, with yourself, a person or being. They are the two separate processes of a mental phenomena and physical phenomena. You rightly understood them. Then when you proceed with your practice diligently, strenuously, and honestly, then you come to realize, because this rising movement, then there's the mind that notes it. Because this falling movement, then the mind notes it. There's the mind that knows it. In this way, you come to rightly discern the two processes as the cause and the effect. Because you have rising movement, then you have the mind that notes it. In other words, the rising movement gives rise to the mind that notes it. So you realize the rising movement is the object, the rising movement is the cause. The subject that notes it is the effect. Because there is an object, there is the mind that notes it. In this way you come to realize cause and effect. Then whenever you have causes, you have effect. That is caused by it. In the same way, because there is a falling movement, there arises the mind that notes it. Then the falling movement, the falling process, is the cause and the arising of the mind that notes it, the effect. In this way you come to realize cause and effect. In the same way, with awareness of the daily activities too, when you rise from your seat, you note rising slowly and very mindfully. Rising. The process of rising movement is observed very precisely and closely. In the same way, once you sit down on the seat, then the process of a sitting down movement is very closely and precisely observed. With the deeper concentration, you come to realize. Because it is a rising process, there arises the mind that notes it. Because there's a sitting down movement, there arises the mind that notes it. In this way, rising movement is because the mind that notes it effect. The sitting down movement is because the mind that notes it the effect. Then the sitting down movement and the mind that notes it is related to as a cause and effect. So here you have the insight knowledge of a cause and effect or causal relation. When you walk, you have to be aware of the movement of the foot very clearly and precisely and very closely. In the beginning of the practice, the mind goes off in wonders and thinks about something else. Then you have to follow the mind and observe it until it has disappeared. When you do not slow down your stepping, you are not able to observe, to be mindful of actual movement of the foot very precisely. Sometimes the mind stay with the noting. In other words, the mind knows noting, not the actual movement, lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement of the foot. When you are aware that your mind knows just noting, then you should put more effort in the noting to be aware of the very movement of the foot. Then you come to realize that the actual movement of the foot, lifting, pushing, putting down, and dropping, touching, and so on. Then you come to realize, you come to differentiate between the two processes of mental and physical phenomena. The lifting movement of the foot is one process, the mind that notes it another process. In this way you come to realize the two separate processes of mentality and physicality. That is the Nama Rupa Parichiranyana, the insight knowledge. Realizing the two processes, or differentiating between the two processes of a mental and physical phenomena. Then, with the deeper concentration, you come to realize when the foot is lifted, then the mind that notes it arises, or there arises that the mind notes that notes it. When the foot is pushed forward, or if when there is a movement of a forward or pushing, there arises the mind that notes it. The noting mind arises because of pushing movement, dropping movement, touching sensation, pressing movement. When there's the object, there's the mind that knows it. When there's no object, there's no mind at it. As to intention, in the beginning of the practice, when your concentration is not deep enough, you do not find the intention before every movement, even a lifting movement of the foot. But when concentration is deep enough, you find the intention arising before lifting. When there is no intention, or when you didn't find the intention, do not find intention yet, then you don't have the mind that notes it as the intention. The absence of the object, because of the absence of the object, there's no mind that notes it. Here also you have inside knowledge of a cause and effect. When you easily find the intention before lifting, you note it, intention or intending. Then when you find the intention before pushing, dropping, then you note intending, pushing, intending, dropping, touching, intending, pressing, and so on. Then because there's an intention, there's the mind that knows it. The intention causes the mind, the noting mind, to arise. The intention is a cause, the mind that knows its effect. In this way, you come to realize the causal relationship between mental process and physical process, or subject and object. Then again, you feel when you are observing, mindful observing of the movement of a lifting, pushing, dropping, and pressing. Sometimes you feel when you know intention, intending, lifting, intending, pushing, intending, dropping, intending, intending, dropping, touching, intending, pressing. There, sometimes you feel when you know intending very clearly, then the foot is lifted, or the foot lifts itself. When you know intending, the foot push itself, push forward itself. Then you feel the foot is lifted automatically without anyone to make it lift. Suddenly the foot lifted. Sometimes when you begin to know it, you feel surprised at the sudden movement of lifting of the foot. Sometimes you get puzzled what happened. Then again, when you know intending, the foot is pulled forward suddenly. You feel the foot is going automatically. I have not yet pushed it forward. Before I haven't yet pushed it forward, it's pulled by something, or it goes forward automatically. Then when you note intending, then the foot dropped suddenly. At the time also, you are noting intending, but you are about to drop the foot, but the foot has already dropped off its own accord automatically. Here also you feel it surprising. Sometimes you are startled at the experience of the sudden dropping of the foot. then here you feel the movement of the foot is arising automatically. So when you do another step, you feel that. Later on, you come to feel sometimes you are like a puppet. Sometimes you feel you are like a toy which is moves and goes by the power of a string, steel string, a spring. Then what you feel is your body automatically goes forward, walks on, without your effort. Later on, you find the agent that makes the body walks or moves, or the agent that lifts the foot pushed, Mendel states that the intention is Chetana in Pali. This is Chetana is normally translated into volition and motive. So in the walking meditation, when you know intending lifting, intending pushing, intending dropping, touching, intending pressing, when you feel in the way I mentioned, because of a deep concentration, then later on you find only intention causes the foot lift. In other words, because there's an intention, the foot is lifted. Without intention, the foot is not lifted. Because there's an intention, the foot is pushed forward. Because there's an intention, the foot is dropped. Because there's an intention, the foot is pressed. In this way, you come to know, say, the entity, the agent that causes the movement of the foot, every movement of the foot. Then you feel you need not lift the foot, you need not push it forward, you need not drop it down, you need not press it. When there's an intention, the foot lifts. When there's an intention, the foot pushes forward. When there's an intention, the foot drops. when there's the intention, the foot first. Then you do not find any person, any being who walks or who lifts the foot, puts it forward, drops down, and presses it. Then in walking or in the process of a movement of the foot one after another, you do not find any person or being who makes it walks or lifts, pushes, drops. Then what's that which makes the foot lift, pushed, dropped, and pressed? You know that. What's that? The intention. When I explain you, you know that. But when your concentration is deep enough in the walking meditation, you yourself experience it. Some of a few of the meditators here experience it, but they cannot explain it, how it happens. But they know, because there's an intention, the foot is lifted, they know. Through their personal experience, not the theoretical, through theoretical knowledge. But even though they have to experience it, they cannot explain it, because they have little knowledge of scriptures. Now what I explain you is the points which scriptural knowledge is mixed with the experience. So you yourself experience it. Then here, to lift, pushed, dropped, and pressed the foot. What is needed here is just intention. That volition or motive, we call it a chetana, that intention. So when you have the intention to lift the foot, you lift it. When you have the intention to push it forward, you push it forward. When you have the intention to drop it down, you drop that the foot is dropped. When you have the intention to go to dining room, what do you do? How can you do dining room? When you have the intention to sit down on the chair, you sit down. When you have the intention to look at the foot, looking at. And when you have intention to take the spoon or the fork, you take it.
when you have paid attention to, say, to choose which food should be eaten first. Then you choose it. In this way, every action, even the actions which is done automatically, as if automatically, also has intention to do it. So every intention, every action is preceded by the intention. Without intention, nothing is done. That is what the Buddha said. Intention, cetana, is a karma, the action, the Buddha said. Intention, cetana, is a karma, the action. When you have bad intention, you do bad action. When you have the evil intention, you do evil things. When you have the good intention, you do good action. That action is a karma. That intention is a karma because the intention causes the action to arise. So, the cause of the action, bad or good, is the intention, cetana. Cetana ham bhikkhave kamam vadami. So, bad action is caused by bad intention. Good action is caused by good intention. You are now doing good action or bad action. And good. Why? When does this good action arise? Because of a good intention. Intention to listen to Dhamma is a good or bad? Good. No? So then you sit and listen to Dhamma, this action is done. Then this good action is caused by good intention. That good intention is called a good karma. When you walk outside the meditation hall, then the flies come to you and hovering around your face. What do you do? What do you do?
Have an intention
to remove the fly. No. Because you are mindfulness meditator, so you must be mindful of it. You must be mindful of it. How could you mindful of it? The hovering of the fly.
Yes, sometimes it rests on your face. Then, what should you do? Note it. How? Sitting. Tickling. Yes. Tickling. Sometimes itching. Sometimes touching. Touching. So, but the flying doesn't go away. Then what did you do? Yes. Your concentration is good at that moment because of the fly. Sit in your face, the concentration breaks. Then you get anger. So you brush it. Then the fly drops down and dies. No, when you are angry, you do not do that. Because you angry with it, you brush it out. And then it drops down and dies. Then, what is it, the karma? Good karma or bad karma? Bad karma. Why? Because the intention is bad. Because the intention is bad. That bad intention is caused by the anger. Is it right? That the anger is the original cause. The intention is the secondary cause. So, bad intention caused bad karma. Then bad karma will produce good result. How do you think? Does bad karma produce the good result? No. Bad karma produce good bad result. Then you are aware that the flies died. Because of my anger. Anger is a very bad. And you are remorseful. Unhappy about it. That remorse and unhappiness arises from bad karma. That's a bad result. Is there? Yes. Bad karma produces a bad result. Then you proceed with your walking meditation, but the mind is with the fly, which is a dead. Can you concentrate well? No. They are also bad result of a bad karma. So the intention, the action, bad or good, is preceded by intention. Without intention, nothing is done. So here also, when you know the intention, then the food is lifted. When there's a, you know intention, there's an intention, then you the food is pushed forward. The movement of lifting is caused by the intention to lift. The movement of a pushing forward is caused by the intention to lift, to push forward. The intention is a cause and the movement is an effect. In this way, you come to realize the relationship between causing, between intention and the movement that follows. So you have an inside knowledge of a causal relation. In the same way, when you are born, reborn in existence, when you have completely realized this cause and effect of a mental and physical phenomena through your personal experience of a Dhamma, a realization of a bodily mental phenomena, whatever arises has its cause, or everything is conditioned. You come to realize that. Without condition, nothing arises. See, now I mean talking, giving Dhamma talk. Then you hear it. Do you hear it? Then there is a consciousness for hearing. Without consciousness, you can't hear. Is it right? Right? Without consciousness, you can't hear. When you hear, then there is a consciousness. Then it's a, the consciousness that hears the sound of the talk. Then that consciousness for hearing, what does it make rise? What does it make rise? In other words, why does the consciousness of hearing arise? Addition, listen to talk? Yes. Yes, suppose you are deaf. You have the intention, could you hear the talk? Make about them. You need what are what you need?
The seon.
I couldn't follow it. The noise. Or the sound. Yes, yes, I know the sound. Yes, the sound. Yes. You need the sound to hear. And the consciousness in here and there. Yes. When you are deaf, there's a sound talking, the talk. There's an intention. You have an intention. And there's a consciousness. Do you hear? Huh? No, why? Because you are deaf. Because you are dead. Even though you have an intention in the soul, you can't hear it. Huh? You don't? Yeah, yes. Even though there's a sound, you don't know there's a sound because you are deaf. So, you see, but you are here sitting to listen Dhamma, I mean talking, then you know that there's a sound. Eh? There's a sound always. So you try to listen to it. You have the intention to do that, but you do not hear it because you are deaf. Then to hear, to make the consciousness by hearing arise, you need sound, good ear, not deaf ear. Good ear. And what's it? There's another thing. What do you need? Yes, a consciousness is the result. It's a result. The sound, good ear. Intention to listen. And then? Yes. You forgot one thing. See. Around me. There's a very good glass house. In the glass house. The roof is glass, the walls are glass. I sit in that glass house. I'm in delivering Dhamma talk. Do you hear? Eh? Do you hear? No. Why? Eh? Why? Wine does not contact. Wine does not it contact. Because there's no space, enough space. And the glass is a very densely compounded thing. So there's no enough space for the wind to go through when I talk. Then I'll drill a hole right there. In the glass wall. Could you hear? Why? The air carried the sound through that hole to your ear. Then what do you need, he said. The sound, good ear, the intention, and also space. These are the four conditions which make the sound arise. So, everything is conditioned. That is called sankhata in Pali. Sankhata, conditioned things. Everything doesn't arise, anything doesn't, or nothing doesn't, does nothing arise without condition. Everything arises through its condition. So, sankhata, please remember that one. Very common word for Buddhists. Sankhata and asankhata. Sankhata is a condition to things. Asankhata is the thing without condition. Sankhata is a condition. Then, when a thing, a mental process or physical process arises depending on its condition, then it's subject to passing away. In other words, whatever arises is subject to passing away. Is it right? Then whatever arises has its condition. Then conditioned things are arising and passing away. Then unconditioned things does not arise and does not pass away. Asankhata is called the unconditioned things. That is Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. Time's up. So please remember, sankhata, conditioned things, asankhata, unconditioned things. May all of you achieve your goal, unconditioned things, through mindfulness and meditation.